Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a dead horse, 1d6 damage at a time, 200 times in a row, forever, until time stops. That's right, it's an anniversary episode, and as I'm sure you're aware, we're basically out of D&D. Not to worry, as a special treat for a special episode, we're remaking the lost System Mastery pilot, Marvel Superheroes role-playing game, Advanced Edition, Player's Guide, from all the way back in 1986. Will we make ours Marvel, or distinguish ourselves as the competition? And will we ever buy that pig? Find out today on System Mastery. And welcome back. Let's get to it. Hey there, I'm Jeff, joined as always by my co-host John for, Jesus Christ, almost 9 years.
That's right. 200 episodes of this.
Yeah, that's a thing we did. That's something I can not put on my resume, that's for sure.
That is, that's a lot. That's a lot of RPGs that we have read.
Yeah, I mean, granted, there's a couple episodes in there where we cheated, where there's like
Well, I mean, there's two-parters and some April Fools in there.
Supplement spectaculars. At least one of them from way back in the Dark Ages is a movie review. Before we we did an episode of the Dungeons & Dragons, the movie, as an episode of System Mastery before Movie Mastery existed.
Yeah.
But, God, we've read at least 190-plus RPGs in our time at this point.
It's man, it's a lot.
How you doing?
Done a lot.
How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm raring to go. I'm excited, especially not only about 200 episodes, which, hey, if I had a kazoo and a little party popper, I would use them.
I'm fairly certain there's a kazoo on my desk. I have a 3-year-old child.
Well, there you go. But also, it's great to go do the old Phase Rip Marvel, because it was our unreleased first pilot episode that, you know, we didn't. I mean, it's not like we have it anymore. We recorded that thing like 5 times before we actually made episode 1.
Yeah, I recorded it personally at least 4 computers ago, probably 5. By the way, quick desk alert update for the interested parties and for John. I can't spot any kazoos on there. I think Sage ran off with it, but I did find a pair of shamrock shaped sunglasses.
Good.
Novelty sunglasses, which are making it very hard to see right now, and I'm wishing I wasn't wearing them.
Oh, that's probably why you can't find the kazoo.
I probably did things in the incorrect order.
Yeah.
You got a good point there. Although, just the other night, I was playing the Benny Hill theme so she could run around, because she knows that's what the Benny Hill theme is for.
Yeah. You start playing that theme, and, you know, instinctually, people are like, well, I gotta start running around.
Yeah, she just starts giggling and zipping around the house if she hears the Benny Hill theme. It's a well-trained party trick that our child can do. I'm going to keep her doing it until she's like 16.
Good.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I'll introduce her to the devastating feminist legacy of Benny Hill, and she'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear you're doing well. And yeah, I'm also fairly excited about coming back to the pilot episode. God, remember the story of the pilot episode, if you're wondering why you've never heard it, is because we didn't know what we were doing or what a podcast really was. I listened to a few of them, but we didn't know how to make them.
Well, we didn't know what the format really was going to be. I mean, there were the first times we were doing this, like, we recorded once that first episode where we were both on just like gaming headset
mics. I was going to say, we recorded it on 2 computers in the same room on gaming headset mics. And when you tried to listen back to it, you could hear each, like, the echo of the other person on every dialogue of the other. We didn't know how to clean it.
No, and we were like rolling dice and talking like way too much about very specific things.
Oh, we were also dead serious. Like, for the first 4 or 5 episodes, it was all just like, the thing that's a problem with this game.
Let me show you the charts that are here. Now, as you'll notice, roll dice, I've gotten a 68.
Yeah, we actually had dice involved. God, what were we even doing with those fucking dice?
Yeah.
I don't even have the book in front of me today. I'm flying blind, which is identical to when I have the book in front of me.
It's true.
After all, these shamrock
because
sunglasses.
Normally, yeah, you've got those shamrock glasses on.
They're ruining it. But at least I've got a cool wrestling persona.
Oh, yeah.
Something to do with Lucky Charms.
You've definitely got that shamrock shaker final move.
That's the move. Hell yeah. All my moves are based on cereal mask. Actually, I was just here heard a discussion the other day about if Mortal Kombat occurred, and everyone's always prepared at any given time for Mortal Kombat to be declared and break out. I know you are.
Yeah.
If it was the cereal mascots, who would win Mortal Kombat?
I mean, it's hard to say because obviously you immediately want to go to Tony Tiger.
Obviously
strength,
he's the Liu Kang of cereal mascots when you break it down. He's big, he's muscular, he's athletic, he's a main character.
Yeah. He's got natural weapons. He can do those fatalities easy. Mm-hmm. Alpha Predator, amazing.
Then you have to, your mind is going to roll off and divert to like, wait, aren't there literal monsters? Couldn't we go to Frankenstein or Frankenberry or Booberry?
And then, of course, I go to things like Lucky and I go, well, now you've got magic.
Yeah, look, Lucky's got magic and can do whatever he wants with it. I'm not going to discount the Cocoa Puffs bird.
Oh, I
Cuckoo,
am immediately.
Cuckoo the Cocoa. He's fucking crazy. He'll go nuts on your ass for that victory.
He's like the Voldo of the mascot.
He'll probably kill six people before they explain to him that the prize for Mortal Kombat is not a bowl of Cocoa Puffs. And then he'll kill whoever managed to explain it to him.
And he'll kill again!
The other people I was listening to have this conversation settled on Captain Crunch, saying that as a sea captain from a certain age, he's had to have done some shit that everyone else in the game would be like, no, I'm not going to do. I won't cross that line. You've done shit, Captain Crunch, that I will not.
Yeah, but then you're just saying that, oh, we're doing Mortal Kombat, but no one else is willing to kill. No, that's horseshit. If we're going into this saying everyone is going in like, I'm going to murder that other guy, then Crunch goes down easy first round.
Yeah, Crunch is right in there with like Toucan Sam, where they've got no game.
I mean, at least Toucan can fly. That Trix Rabbit is fucked.
Yes, the Trix Rabbit is indeed him and like the frog from Sugar Smacks or whatever. These are all your low rank contenders that aren't even going to show up until the third serial Mortal Kombat game.
Oh yeah, now I mean you've got your dark horse winners, things like that honeycomb Tasmanian monster.
That fucking monster. That's definitely a sub-boss. That's the Goro of Mortal Kombat.
That thing is terrible.
You got those also-rans like Fruit Brute. Where you've... I mean, I don't have a perfect answer for you at the ready. It just popped into my head that I had heard that conversation recently and I enjoyed it.
Great.
Yeah. But anyway, eventually we settled and made our real first episode, which God knows I now do not remember what it was, the one that actually came out.
Well, instead of doing Phase Rip, we did the Heroes Unlimited.
That's right, because we didn't feel like recording Phase Rip like a third or fourth time or whatever it was, and we were like, fuck it, let's just do another game we know how to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, doing the Phase Rip one, I mean, one, it was definitely a learning experience as far as what are we trying to do with the tone? What do we want to focus on? But then also, I feel like we had initially thought, well, maybe we'll come back to this game.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to start with one that we both were very familiar with so that when we started the first episode, we at least would get off on a foot where we're like, okay, I can speak with some authority about this.
Which I think at the time we were both concerned with. And I think at this point we successfully shed that cocoon and realized I don't give a fuck if people think I know what I'm talking about or not, because trying to maintain that illusion was causing me stress.
Yeah, now I don't care. Musketeers in 1840? Why not?
It makes perfect sense. There's blimps. Fuck you.
Who cares?
There's not blimps in 1840 either. Eat a dick. I've had so many fucking people come, and I swear there are people who see the comment and are like, eh, well, one more comment wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, they should know that I am also aware.
Don't worry, it doesn't hurt that bad. We're fine. What happened, if you want the full story, if you don't see it from everyone else I've tried to explain it, I have an easily recrossed head. It's easy to cross the wires in there. And the book was written, and this is a true fact, in the 1840s. That's when the book was written. That was the problem. My whole time I kept saying 1840s, and it was because I knew when the book was written.
Yeah.
That's all.
And I just went along with it because I don't care.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your answer. God damn it.
Go listen to Movie Mastery.
No, don't. Skip that episode. It was just a shame because I really liked that episode. I had a good time on it.
Oh, it's a good episode.
Yeah. So one of the things that I have very dim memories of anything, and 8 or 9 years ago, just completely gone. Mm-hmm. But what little inklings I can summon about our initial attempt to review this game was that I was positive on it.
Yeah. There is definitely a part of me coming back to this. I was like, all right, let's do this. I can't wait to go back. I remember thinking this was kind of weird and fun, and then reading through and going, oh no, 9 years has crushed my soul. This is a bad game and I can't just like it.
Oh, way to let the cat out of the bag. But yeah, I mean, not like we've discussed this in advance, but on a reread 9 years later, at the time we were but amateurs and had only read, like, we were like, oh, we know a lot about RPGs. Of course we can make a podcast about that. And it took us maybe 6 more episodes to go, shit, I had no idea.
Wow, but look at all this crap.
But on a reread of Marvel Super Heroes, the 1986 TSR game, it is extremely 1980s and it is extremely TSR.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's all stuff that is kind of very slowly faded out of my head, and it was not in there anymore. All I remembered about this game before I picked it up and started rereading it 2 weeks ago was, oh, the power creation engine is, or the power random roll engine is crazy fun. They did a great job of capturing the diaspora of 80s Marvel, so you can play as just about any possible thing you would want to from right around that time, back when the X-Men were the highest pinnacle, and, you know, characters like Captain Marvel and Thor were but afterthoughts.
I mean, the only thing going in that I was like, oh, man, I'm going to enjoy this, but I'm going to, you know, have to rip into them for that. That success chart they've got in the back. Oh, man, that's the one thing that's going to be bad. And I was like, oh, that's not even close.
No, that thing's fine. At least it's pretty and in full color. It's still hard to read. It's too periodic table-y for my... There's parts of it I don't... It, like, there's like an actinides and lanthanides section. I mean, it's up at the top, and it's like your chance to get out of, like, escape a hold or stun someone or something.
All the various combat actions that you can take,
mm-hmm.
and, I mean, I don't care what order we're doing this in. Please, this is a self-indulgent 200th episode.
Yeah, this is a victory lap.
So, there's all the different actions you can take up there, and it honestly is one of the few things reading this where I was like, oh, good, because the fighting in this can use any of 4 different stats,
mm-hmm.
because if it was just, since phase rip...
F stands for fighting.
Yeah, F is fighting, and A is agility, and you're like, oh, it's going to be melee and ranged, but you can use, like, endurance... Mm-hmm. to go grapple someone.
The entire phase of phase rip can be used for melee combat or for physical combat, let's say. Because the other stats can also be used for combat in the mental and magic spheres.
Yes, because you have your reason and intuition and psyche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to go down the line, it's fighting, agility, strength, endurance, reason, intuition, psyche, karma, health, resources, popularity... teenage guide to, it's got a lot of stats.
There's a lot of stuff. There's some derived things,
mm-hmm.
but this, God bless it. It's bad, but boy, does it ever scratch that itch of random table generation for me.
Well, I think one of the few things we said back in the day when we talked about this was that the core book itself is a little lackluster, but it sings when you add another book called The Ultimate Powers Guide. And, you know, even on a reread of that, I don't think that's necessarily true. The Ultimate Powers Guide is awesome. It is one of the coolest role-playing game books there is. It is useless for the actual purposes of trying to play a real role-playing game. It will fuck your campaign sideways.
Yeah, when you are making a hero in the Marvel Heroes game in Phase Rip, you are basically first off going to figure out what your origin is. So what type of background are you? Are you a mutant?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a high-tech guy like Iron Man? Are you an altered human like Captain America?
Yeah.
Are you a full-on robot like Vision? Or are you just an alien?
An alien in this case covers the gap, even though in the 80s, Thor was actually the god of thunder from... like Norse mythology and heaven and Norse heaven and everything. And nowadays we consider that Asgard is an alien planet that they're from.
Well, in the MCU.
Yeah, but also here, Thor would use the alien category. They're just like, he's from somewhere other than Earth. He's an alien. Done.
Yeah. Because basically all the other categories are, you are a human and how did you get your powers? And then alien is, you aren't a human.
And the other thing is, I think the Marvel comic continuity has pulled this trick now as well, where, like, if you're Star-Lord, you can fly to Asgard in your ship. You just know where it is and you can go there.
I mean, they're still not aliens. They are actually gods, but...
Yeah, I mean, technically, on paper, but I mean, they don't live on Earth. They live on some other thing, so that means they're aliens when they're here. That's the cool thing about the definition of alien. It's a pretty inclusive category.
But yeah, you'll figure that out, and you can random roll for that,
mm-hmm.
and then you will randomly roll for your stats on a table based on what your origin is.
Yes, and they rank in order pretty much from worst to best of altered human, mutant, high-tech, robot, and then alien. The aliens have godlike stats because in Marvel, a lot of aliens are surprisingly godlike.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there is a weird spread depending on what chart you're on.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're looking at mutants and altered humans have the same chart,
mm-hmm.
and they skew heavily towards the sort of normal person thing. So
yeah, there's a bell curve, but it works in reverse from a usual dice-based distribution.
Well, with them, it's essentially the same as what you would get if you had an actual bell curve, because the middle of it, of like, also, I guess I should mention that all of the stats are names instead of just numbers.
Well, they're both. I mean, we'll get into that. There's so much to this. It's too much. The game is too much.
But you've got feeble, poor, typical, good, excellent, remarkable, incredible, amazing, and monstrous are mm-hmm. what you can roll to start with. There are things above that.
Yeah.
And if you're a mutant or an altered human, you have, for the good, excellent, and remarkable, those are each 20 of the results on your thing. So yeah. Like 21 to 40, 41 to 60, 61 to 80. So there's a very good chance when you're rolling, you'll get in that I'm sort of okay range. But you literally, no matter what you roll, can't get monstrous, and it's harder to go on the extremes of it.
Mm-hmm.
High tech, very unfortunately, does not even let you get to incredible rank or above.
No. Because
most of your shit is just coming from your tech.
Well, it's Iron Man. The thing is, they list a number of potential high tech heroes, but it's very, very clearly based on Iron Man and his foes. Because it's almost entirely based around getting a power suit together that gives you your powers and bumps up your stats.
Yeah, you aren't really going to roll on the high-tech table and be like, yeah, I've got monstrous strength. Because no, high-tech is essentially you're a regular dude.
Yeah.
And then you've got some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this is a book from, I mean, Winter Soldier existed. No, he didn't. 86? No, he didn't exist
yet.
No,
not even close.
Yeah, this is way before Winter Soldier came around. But you'd probably want, if you were trying to build him now.
Closer would be Deathlok.
Sure. Deathlok gets mentioned in here on a number of occasions. Yeah.
Yes, as either a robot or a altered human, though.
Yeah, but when you look at someone like Winter Soldier now, you think, is he high-tech because of the robot arm, or is he altered human because of the super soldier serum? And would you classify his strength as crazy high? I don't think it'd be monstrous because that's like the Hulk's strength.
No, it would be altered human because yeah. High tech has to be like gadgets and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, of course, robots and aliens are the only two that can actually get to monstrous.
Motherfucker knows when Winter Soldier showed up, but doesn't know when the Three Musketeers happened. Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Save me from myself.
I will not. aliens have a much more like standard as far as what you will get, because it's like 1 to 10, 11 to 20,
yeah.
21 to 30. So your chances of getting feeble are just as good as your chances of getting incredible.
Yeah. The only thing I meant by reverse bell curve distribution is normally you get a bell curve in role-playing games from this era by rolling 3d6, which naturally has its own bell curve built in. Here you're rolling percentile, which doesn't. And then the chart does.
Yes. The robots, while they can get up to monstrous, they have a lesser chance of getting up that high, but they are much more likely to get to a like a good or an excellent, because I mean your chances of getting feeble are 1 to 10, whereas if you rolled 1 through 10, that'd be chance of getting feeble to poor in robot.
So, yeah, yeah. So there are a few other riders for each one of the various archetypes you can play. You can be here. Altered human is very normal, but they do get to automatically raise one stat by one column shift, which is basically if it's good, you can take it to remarkable or whatever. Don't expect me to keep the, that.
It was excellent.
Okay. I don't have the book in front of me.
Oh, I know.
And honestly, a list of words is an extremely hard way to memorize a simple set of progressions.
It's true.
When you're playing your way through this game, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, my character's got good levitation. I don't know if that's good. It's bad.
Is that actually good?
No, it's bad.
It's better than bad. It's good.
Good is bad. Feeble is worse.
Good is bad, up is down. It's opposite day here in Marvel Superheroes.
But they get to raise one stat by one to make up for like their low stat rolls to begin with, because the people who they list as altered humans are a group of people who have diverse training and experiences. At this time period, they're mentioned White Nick Fury, Captain America, a couple others. Mutants, meanwhile, does not get to raise any one stat by one for free. But I believe they get
an extra power.
They get an extra power because that's Mutant's whole thing. But they have to set their popularity to zero because everyone always hates Mutants.
That's right.
Which is, I know that's a classic Marvel thing. And I know we've talked about this in at least 3 other Marvel role-playing games. But it's so funny when you're... The whole thing about Mutants and how everyone hates them falls apart immediately when you expose them to the rest of the Marvel universe.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're like, I fucking hate Mutants, but I love Spider-Man. What? How do you tell them apart?
How do you know that's not just, you know what?
And here, in a game where you can have secret identities and you're starting as a brand new, fresh character that no one knows, it's hilarious that everyone hates you for being a mutant when you don't have to visibly or obviously be a mutant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I make a guy and I'm like, yeah, that's right, I made a big elephant man or whatever, people might go, ooh, that's probably a mutant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, What did I make? I made a guy, he shoots laser beams out of his hands.
Yeah, everyone
don't know.
Everyone's going to be like, a big elephant man? Man, I remember that guy showing up in background shots during the Civil War stuff. And nothing else.
I remember he was one of the few people to survive the like Great Mutant Purge, which was weird.
Mm-hmm. Happened in the 1840s.
Did the Mutant Purge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, House of M. Anyway.
Yeah, and so if you're high-tech, you're just going to have better reason and resources, generally.
Which you're going to need, because this game... Well, you won't need them to create your character initially, because if you're high-tech, you roll powers just like everyone else does. But if you want to build more stuff later, that's when you come into a whole sub-game about constructing stuff out of the power menu, and God, does it ever get overcomplicated.
Yes. If you are a robot, then you are also popularity zero, but unlike mutants, it's not because everyone hates you, it's because everyone's like, you're just some robot, I don't care what happens to you.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. You can't lose. Karma is this game's XP mechanic, and also it's brownie point mechanic. It's a fucking shit mechanic.
Karma is garbage.
There's too much on it. And robots, you can't, when you would normally lose karma for killing an innocent or letting an innocent come to harm, not robots, because no one fucking cares. I mean, their reason is because robots can come back to life. Like, you can fix a robot, so you didn't really kill it.
That's the big benefit of being a robot, is they're like, well, you don't have to, eat or sleep or breathe. And also, if you die, you can technically have someone who's like, well, I've got a high reason and a workshop. They can bring you back.
Someone explain that to L3.
Okay.
Or any? Well, I guess he's this Millennium Falcon's like a third of its brain now.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then the last one is aliens. Aliens. I don't remember. Help me out.
Get the best, like we were saying, chance of getting like monstrous and super high abilities.
Yep.
They pay for it by they have one fewer power than everyone else. They have poor resources automatically because, they're aliens, and they only start with one contact maximum, as that is another thing that you will have to roll for, is your contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And almost always that contact is just whatever your alien race is.
So now you may be thinking, when you hear that it's like a list of names for each level of the stats, like you may have a fighting of remarkable and an agility of incredible and so on, and think, okay, well, it may be difficult to memorize the order of those words, but at least once I do, it's like there's only seven numbers to the stats, and that's not that difficult. Well, stand still, because here's the deal. Each one of those numbers actually represents a range of potential numbers, and no, it's not the range on that table you just rolled on, because that's just a table you roll on once and then never look at again. Instead, there is a universal table for, like, how the number value of good. It's still a range. Don't expect me to know it in front, because it's not in front of me.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got it.
Uh-huh. Tell me just what good's range is.
Good is a number rank between 8 and 15.
Yes. Now, and incredible?
Incredible is a rank between 36 and 45.
So when you're creating your character, if you have an incredible stat, you're just going to write down fighting. Incredible. And you might write down the number you rolled in the first place just in case you want to keep track of it. But then you're going to go in and write 36 next to it, because that's your current value. A new character start at the lowest end of that range. And that is there so that you can track as you how you level up when you get through those ranges. And also, so if people hit you for values that hit you with things that reduce the values of your stats, you need to know if you drop down by a column. And also because all of the substats are powered by those numbers.
Yes. Your starting health is you just take the phase part of phase rip. You take all of those numbers in your ranges, and you add them all together, and that's how many starting health you have.
Yes. Now, you're starting the other stat that works the same way is karma, which, again, is kind of a XP / spend this to stunt kind of mechanic. That you do that by taking the rip part of phase rip, adding those together, and that's your starting karma.
Yes. Resources is just...
It starts
if it's
at typical.
If it's not a character that starts with poor or something like that,
yeah,
then you get to do typical and roll on a table to see if it goes up or down from there.
Yeah, that's one of the weirdest tables when you first see it. It's just called the ability modification table. It's just like roll percentile and look at the table and cross-reference this, and it tells you how much to increase or decrease another stat by. And then it's another six pages before they tell you why you'd want that.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, well, I just randomly rolled my stats. So I would like to further randomize them, please.
I mean, given that in the ability modifier table, there's only one thing that can reduce. So, 1 to 15 is reduce it. Everything else is remain unchanged or increase.
Yes.
So
if you could, you would.
Oh, yeah. When I first read through this way, way long ago, and I saw that, I was like, so I generate my stats, and then I see if my stats get better or worse? Do I do this for all of my things? Because it comes literally right after the table for generating your stats is ability modifier table, and they don't say, hey, this isn't for your stats, even though we put it right next to it.
Yeah, the game is full of tables at odd locations. There are parts where it'll mention tables that you don't remember where they are, and you have to go digging forever to find them again. A lot of it is like, hey, this power makes you kind of like a vehicle. So now you have the speed of a vehicle. Take your speed and read it off the vehicle chart. And you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to have to open up the section on vehicles. Couldn't you just tell me my character can go 200 miles an hour?
Couldn't you? No, could not.
No,
because
that's not how things work.
Everything's based on these ranks so that you don't get like, what do you have? Oh, I rolled super speed. Well, you can run 200 miles an hour. No. Because you have to figure out the rank of your powers. So you might be like, what do you have? Super speed. At what rank? Feeble. So you can run as fast as a slow person? Yes.
Well, no, because you run as fast as a slow car.
Yeah.
At least you've got that going for you. I think it puts you at like 20 miles an hour, which is really fast for a person.
Yeah.
Especially if you can sustain it. But, okay. So you've got your core seven stats. You've got your health. Which, incidentally, that's also another reason you need to know those numbers that your stats represent. Because if you punch someone and you do good damage, then it's because you do 8 damage.
Well,
sort of.
The damage you do is based off of, ooh, lordy, depending on what you're doing. If you're punching, it's going to be based off your strength number.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a weapon, it's based off of the weapon material quality.
Yep, because it's based on the strength of the weapon. This is how they justify things like Wolverine's claws and cap shield.
Yeah, which can mean that if I'm, you know, Juggernaut and I punch you, I'm going to do an ass load of damage because I'm super strong. The second I pick up a baseball bat and hit you, I do trash damage.
Yeah. One of the things about this book that's amusing, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because that this is the point where you learn that, is that it's full of weird little asides from the author. It was written by Jeff Grubb. And there's these like very chummy personal asides throughout it that are not quite enough to be irritating, but are still standouty enough to be noticeable.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's the one about how the thing, if he were to hit you with a club, it would do a club damage and he wouldn't be hacked because he's a fucking thing. That's why he usually uses light poles.
Yeah.
But there's other ones in there, too, where he's just like explaining the difference between two and four wheel drive on Jeeps. And he has like a strong opinion about it. He's like, yeah, there's not really that much of a difference between two-wheel and four-wheel drive, you guys. Four-wheel drive just means your car gets stuck in weirder places. Source quote, Dune Master Doug, my friend. And you're like, what the hell is... are you serious?
Dirty Doug, my friend. He gets me my weed.
It was called like Dune Bug Doug or something. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm glad he just decided to name drop your weird Dune Buggy friend from the 80s in here.
And the fourth one, we talked about health, karma, and resources is popularity. If you aren't, you know, a mutant or a robot,
yeah,
then you start baseline at 10 popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You have the option of having things like if everyone knows your secret, you don't have a secret identity. They know who you are. You can raise your popularity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Fantastic Four, you're more popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do have a secret identity, it lowers your popularity, which is weird.
I mean, I get it. It's one of
Spider-Man.
Well, it's not just the problem with it. This is the same thing as the mutant problem. Spider-Man's whole thing where he keeps his secret identity, protect his family or whatever, falls apart on exposure to the Marvel Universe. Where you're like, well, wait, how come no one's just flat out murdered Pepper Potts then? Just you think, oh, they're gonna go after Pepper Potts to get to Tony, but no, because he'll stop them because he's Iron Man. You could just tell everyone you're Spider Man, Peter. Everyone else is doing it. All these people you hang out with all the time get away with it all the time. And you know, ultimately, this is an 80s story in the Marvel Universe. At this point, I'm pretty sure it's. Fuck, I don't know. I don't fucking know what the current status of Spider-Man's secret identity. That shit wobbles.
Yeah, no, it's mid-80s. He's secret identity'd up.
No, I don't mean at this point in 1984 or whatever. I mean now. I don't know the current status of Spider-Man's secret identity.
Oh, yeah, that does indeed in the modern day wobble. But, yeah, so then there are some modifiers you can do, and if you... get modifiers that take it lower. Like if you're a mutant with a secret identity, then it takes you into negative popularity.
Yeah.
And that can fuck up random stuff that you try to do as well.
There are benefits though. It's that your superhero identity gets the negative popularity and that can fuck it up. Everyone thinks you're a villain. But you get a zero popularity for your secret identity. You're a nobody and no one knows who that is.
Yes.
So you do get that benefit, and that sticks with you. Even as your superhero becomes world famous or whatever, and he starts developing enemies who may want to go after him, at least you've got this schlub of a secret identity keeping things secret for you.
Except they both have their own popularity stats.
I know.
Which means if you become a world-renowned reporter and everyone's like, I know who Eddie Brock is, then you might have way more popularity in your secret identity than you do as a hero.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and then there is karma. Oh, no, you know, before we get to karma, why don't we talk about the power, talent, and contact things? Because those are the last major three roles you have to do to make a basic hero.
Yeah, so you'll figure out on a chart with a D100 roll, you'll go through a chart for powers, a chart for talents, and a chart for contacts, and you can have... anywhere from 2 to 5 starting powers.
Yep.
1 to 4 starting talents, which mm-hmm. are skills in this.
Yep.
And 0 to 3 contacts. Now, there's also a slash after each of these numbers that represent your maximum allowed.
Yes. Yeah. Each one of them has potential for growth. However, contacts and talents tend to have more potential for growth.
Yeah. Now, if you get, say, 5 powers to start, your max is 5. You're done. But if you, like, the consolation prize of rolling two powers to start with is you can get up to four. So sure, you could use your karma to buy more powers.
Or you could start with them.
Or you could just
There's no difference. I mean, the only difference is that it's worse to have to buy them because you have to spend an insane amount of karma to purchase a power.
Yes.
Thousands. Thousands of karma. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, you won't get it. Because karma, well, we'll get to it. We'll get to karma. It's coming.
And, you know, like you said, if you, the consolation prize for rolling, like, one talent is you can have up to six, though.
Yeah.
And zero contacts, you can have up to four. But, again, you'd have to use resources to get those, and those are resources that could have been used to, say, improve the rank of a power
right.
that you already had.
The problem with the power chart is that it's binary in terms of are you're just getting better. There's not really like, because the low end is like, oh, 1/5, and the high end is 5/5. It's not like the low end hero has more potential. Really, the one thing the low end hero has over the high end hero is the powers you gain during gameplay are purchased, so you have full control over choosing what you want. You can grow in whatever area you want. So you think, okay, well, that gives you an advantage over a fully randomly rolled starting hero, eventually, if you play the game for forever. Except, of course, you don't have to roll any of this. The game is pretty clear about, oh, go through and choose your powers however you would like, or we provided these charts to roll on if you would like.
Yeah. One of the weird things that this lets you do as well is, let's say I start with 2/4. I'm the bottom end of powers.
Yeah.
I can sacrifice ranks of resources for more powers.
Mm-hmm.
So the poorer you are, the more powers you can have.
I guess. I mean, I mean, I'm trying to figure out. Here's the thing I keep thinking of while I'm reading my way through the book, and I've been doing this consistently, is how does that map to Marvel?
Well, I think mostly they're thinking of it as resources is almost like a power in and of itself, because if you want to buy anything, you have to roll a resources feat, and if you fail it, you can't buy it. And, you know, there are thresholds where you don't have to roll anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, oh, I've got, you know, typical resources, okay, you want to go buy lunch. Can you afford lunch?
Well, I mean, okay, I get that. But my question is, when we map it to Marvel, who, when starting out, was like, well, I'm rich.
Spider-Man.
I know. Spider-Man's the obvious example. He starts super poor because he's a high school student, and he has lots and lots of powers.
Yes.
But did he do that when he was building his character? He was like, well, I started at remarkable money, but I spent remarkable money down to being a high school student so I could have two more spider powers. Or really, Spider-Man pretty easily has five powers, which means he pretty much had to have rolled that five powers slot on the basic chart.
Yeah.
Because you can't buy your way to five off the lowest end. It's 1/4.
2/4.
2/4. You always, still, he needs to have super strength, webbing, agility, spider sense. I'm about halfway
wall
there.
Crawling.
Wall crawling, leaping. He's got lots and lots of powers.
Eh.
It's kind of tricky. Ultimately, he's one of those characters where you would expect there to be a power in the game called Spider Powers that just wraps it all up in a nice pretty bow for him. They did it for Storm. Okay. And then the other interesting thing about, we'll get to the powers. They're their own whole thing. Talents we might as well handle now. Talents are basically skills in this game, but they are the one thing in the game that doesn't have its own ranks or anything. They're just little bonuses to stuff. If you have a talent for, like, driving, then you're a better driver than most people. You get a +1 column shift when you're making driving rolls.
Yeah. Normally, anything you do in here is called a feat, is a roll.
Yeah. It's always in all caps, even though it doesn't stand for anything.
Yes. It's like, oh, does that stand for fighting, exert? No, it's just all caps, it's feet. But anything you do is either going to be rolling based on your stat
mm-hmm.
or your powers rank.
Yeah.
And there's a big chart for, depending on what rank you have, whether or not you will succeed and how well you do. But with the talents, it just helps with either being like, oh, I've got, you know, blunt weapon skill. So now, in addition to rolling my fighting to hit someone with a blunt weapon, I can get, you know, a +1 column shift, so I'm not just, you know, typical, I'm good with this, okay.
I would love to try and explain to people what a column shift is. And so there's this big periodic table on the back that's the chance of success at things, and the row is what number you roll, and the column is the current capacity you have for success. When you column shift, you move one column to the right where the results are better.
Well, like, as long as you're in a positive column shift, you can negative column shift down.
Okay, fine. If you negative column shift, you move one or however many slots to the left and get worse with the thing you're trying to roll.
Yeah.
It's hard to understate just exactly how bonkers the column or the resolution chart is in this game. It's enormous and unwieldy, and it uses three axes and also colors drawn on the axes. It is impossible to memorize.
Yeah. You can't do it because it's a D100 result table where it's not like 1 to 10, 11 to 20. No, it's like, okay, you rolled a 1. That's one of them. 0 to 2. That's one of them. And then you'll get up to like, what is this? 26 to 30 is one of them. And you're like, okay, you've just sort of randomly decided when things are going to be breakpointed. And depending on what your stat name is, you're like, okay, I've got,
yeah, go all the way to the remarkable column,
you know, I've got remarkable, cool, so if I roll anything between a 1 and a 35, I fail.
Yeah,
just nothing happens. If I get to a 36 through a 65, then it's a green result, which is okay.
It's not a super success, but it's a moderate success. And then yellow and red are the other two. And then also the chart goes way off in directions that don't make sense to basic players, because you've got all they tried to model the entire Marvel universe here, which means that while player characters tend to cap out at the stat rank of monstrous, which is just crazy super powerful, above that, there's still shit like Unearthly, Shift X, Y, and Z,
oh, yeah,
Class 1000, 3000, 5000, and Beyonder.
Yeah, the Beyond stat,
it's for the Beyonder. It's for the Beyonder and Eternity, and not even for Galactus.
No, Galactus has like Class 5000,
yeah,
and stuff.
It's for people like Eternity and Death and all those characters in the Marvel Universe that basically the characters that only fucking Neil Gaiman gives a shit about.
Ah.
No one else ever wants to write about any of these weirdos.
Yeah, and no matter what, even if I am the Beyonder, if I roll a 1, I fail.
Yes. Yeah.
If I'm feeble, if I suck at everything, if I roll a 100, I get a red super good result.
That basically is there to explain why, like, sometimes a nihilist needs to use your bathroom. Even he fails his stat rolls sometimes. And then he needs to use your bathroom.
What?
He was trying to hold it, and he couldn't, so he needed to use your bathroom, Spider-Man.
Why is a nihilist trying to use my bathroom?
Not a nihilist. The character, a nihilist.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I heard he's like, that's why sometimes a nihilist wants to use your bathroom. And I was like, what?
These are two very different things, although they share similar tenets. At least it's an ethos.
I was like, I don't know where you're going with this. I don't know why a nihilist wants to use Spider-Man's bathroom.
No one wants to use Spider-Man's bathroom. It's
he's
all webby.
Poor.
It's all webby in there, and he's poor. He's not poor right now, right? Isn't he like currently a multi-billionaire?
He was.
Did
he
you
had
lose
his
that again?
He had Parker Tech, and then he lost it all.
Oh, okay.
Just assume anything good that happens to Parker will eventually be taken away from
also
him.
Also, anything interesting. They just keep resetting him to the status quo, and I hate it. And I hate all the people who are still like, he needs to be a high school student. And I'm like, he was a high school student for 3 years in the 60s. Stop trying to go back. We also don't need Strawberry Alarm Clock to be at number one.
But we should.
Incense peppermints. Also, this song, there's probably more lyrics, but you don't know them.
So, yes, talents will help out your roles for doing certain things if it's, you know, part of whatever that encompasses.
Mm-hmm.
Some can also help with your role for your powers.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I've got, say, I don't know.
Like, the fighting ones tend to add to fighting powers and so on.
But you can get things like occult lore or sleight of hand or things like that. and those will give you pseudo powers in and of themselves.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, before we get into powers and karma, I just want to mention that this game has an extremely elaborate magic rules setup for what I can only determine is because it's TSR making this.
It's weird because magic isn't really a category. You can't roll, I have magic powers, but if you get the talent in I have magic training, then you can just say all of my powers are actually magic
or any number
and spells
of them.
And whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, they have a couple of examples of magic people. Their go-tos for the mid-80s
were voodoo people.
the go-tos that they use are Doctor Strange and Shaman. I think in the mid-80s, Scarlet Witch was still just a total enigma.
Well, she's just like, a mutant.
She's just a whatever. Because she's always been kind of in that whatever category. She wasn't a mutant in the first place. But the thing is, all it does is introduce failure chances and make every... Because Doctor Strange just has fucking powers like everybody else. He just has energy bolts and the ability to fly and teleporting and so on. But he has to, like, actually invoke the Faltine or the Ragador or whatever to get his powers to work. And sometimes, if the Faltine are in a bad mood, his powers don't work. And there's no benefit to it. All it is sometimes Doctor Strange's powers don't work. Play as him, though.
The weird thing for me with that, though, is they also base your ability to do a power off of your psyche stat, and then after you've done it, then it's based off of the power's rank.
Yeah.
So if I'm like, all right, I want to just cast a lightning bolt or whatever. I've got energy emission lightning, and I'm going to do that. It's a spell, though, so I cast lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Okay, great. In order to hit someone with it, I actually have to use psyche instead of the power, but when I hit them, the damage is based on the power rank, not my psyche rank.
Yes. Yeah, but still, it introduces failure chances and shit about players being willing or not willing and the gods being on your side and not on your side, and you're just like, why wouldn't you just skip all this? No, I've never read a Doctor Strange comic in my life where he's been like, and now, by the hoary host of Hoggoth! Oh, wait, hold on. Hoggoth is telling me he's not in the mood.
Hoggoth has a headache.
By the headache of Hoggoth!
Come on, it's my birthday!
Oh, you promised!
It's only once a year, come on!
By the rolling over and letting me do what I need to of Hoggoth! But no, I mean, it's very old role-playing game. And it feels wildly out of place here, where it would have been much simpler to just say magic is one of the five categories and call it a day, or make it a sixth category.
I mean, with making tech its own thing to be like, oh yeah, if you want, and you're high tech, you're still just going to roll your random ass powers, but now you say it comes from technology, but we've got an entire system for like building and repairing and doing stuff like that. I'm like, I can kind of see it. But,
no, I can see the origin for it, but I feel like they should have realized about three quarters of the way into the design of, oh, shoot, the only thing we've really done here is make it so that one group of characters in the Marvel Universe have weird built-in fail chances, and in a way that isn't conducive to the actual Marvel Universe.
It's interesting, because it ends up being that pretty much aliens and altered humans are your best bet if you don't want to get messed with, because... You know, in the Marvel Universe, and it mentions this, there are mutant inhibitor collars and things like that.
Yeah.
You can have your tech get scrambled. You can have your magic fail to go off. But if you're just an altered human or an alien, you're like, yeah, well, fuck you, buddy. I do my shit.
Yeah. I mean, it takes it until later books for them to start really introducing weaknesses and so on. But I just wanted to mention that magic's in there. It's a huge portion of the book. And then let's talk about karma. Let's get to it. Let's get it over with. Karma is an old-fashioned mechanic where you can gain it and you can lose it based on if you're acting good or acting poorly. But you also need to spend it to buy your powers or to upgrade things that you already have. And you can bank it and build tontines with it.
The whole thing, karma ends up being, and we've seen this in other games, the combo brownie point and XP,
which is bad.
Is the worst thing you can do, making your players decide between being good right now or being better permanently later.
Yeah, it's not good. Those should always be two different mechanics. So the last thing you want your players doing is hoarding resources.
Yeah.
You don't want to turn your players into hoarders. You want everything to be flowing freely so you have a constant grasp of, and this is just basic DM advice at this point, so you have a reasonable grasp of what your players are capable of at any given time and also what they're about to be capable of. Here, because they could spend vast hordes but they're saving it because they want to buy laser feet, you're never sure, and your players, meanwhile, are always afraid to spend on anything and will take vast damage instead of spending.
It's unfortunate because, as well, it would be almost okay if the numbers were lower. But the numbers in Karma are like, you might start upwards of having like 70 if you rolled really well in the rip section. How much does it take to get like a new power? Oh, like 1,700. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to just sit there session after session, just going, all right, I don't do anything special. And if I want to do something interesting, that also costs karma because there are stunts in this.
Power stunts are one of the things that when I was a younger person, I would say probably the first time we recorded this episode, I would have gone to bat for dramatically because I thought they were a cool idea. That you're like, well, my power is laser eyes. That's neat. I have laser eyes. I'm done. I'm Cyclops. Great. But what about the other shit Cyclops figures out? They're solid beams of energy. Can he use them to pole vault or to briefly fly? Like, by just pointing them at the ground and going up like he's Yosemite Sam with his face? Yes, he could. It's a power stunt. You'll have to pay to get it. And at the time, 8 years ago, I'd been like, that's neat. That's a neat way to boost the powers. But now I'm like, he should just get to do that because it's cool and not because he waited forever not doing anything interesting for the one shot at doing something cool that has a chance of failing.
Yeah, the problem with the power stunt is not only is it like, hey, you're going to have to spend like 100 karma to even attempt it, and you have to attempt it.
Yes.
Because if I say, all right, well, I've got Sonic powers, but I'm going to like yell into a pool and try and create vibrations in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, that's neat. So spend 100, and now I need you to make me a roll to see if you can do that. And if you don't, you spent 100, nothing happens. Go fuck yourself.
And if you want to try it again later, you're going to need to spend another 100. And it's a lot of stuff. They keep mentioning power stunts in the book that feel like they should be basic aspects of the character. Like, their go-to example for a power stunt over and over again is Nightcrawler teleporting a lot.
Yeah, it's, oh, well, Nightcrawler, what if he tries to use his teleportation power to teleport behind 3 people?
And I'm like, that's basic Nightcrawler shit. That's like day one Nightcrawler shit. You get out of here with telling me that he had to earn that. That's what he started with.
Oh, yeah. But they're like, oh, no. At some point, Nightcrawler tried to teleport behind 3 people. He spent like an ass load of karma so that he would be able to do it, and he spent karma to raise his chance to do it, and he did it. Now if he does it 9 more times and succeeds at it, then it'll become just a thing he can do.
Now let's talk about the fail state of playing a character who has any responsibilities besides being a superhero. And also being a superhero. Because if your character, for example, is Tony Stark and needs to make it to a meeting later on in the week and doesn't because he's doing superhero stuff, he loses karma. Because you can lose karma in your regular life, too, by letting people around you down. They obviously want to put in, you know, don't show up to the date with Mary Jane mechanics in the game.
Yeah.
That's, you got to do that. But it's not fun if you're like, well, I want my character to be able to buy a new laser power. And unlike Spider-Man, I didn't start the game with 50 power stunts and 130 powers. I have one. I can shoot lasers. I would really like to get one more power. But my character has a job at a gas station, and if I miss work at the gas station because I was fighting crooks, I get farther from my goal of developing a superpower?
Yeah, in what should have been just a dramatic moment happens. It's instead, you get penalized because fuck you.
Well, you got penalized for trying to give your character a backstory. Really is what it comes down to. They keep punishing you for things like, well, if your character needs to go to school and you can't go to school because of superheroing, and the GM is recommended to be fiendish in these applications. Fiendish shows up a lot in this book. And I got to say, I know I've harped on that before. Let me just say it real quick and get here again. Anytime the GM is encouraged to be a dick, ignore that instruction.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
And you know, like you were saying, it's very much one of those things where the game is like,
don't have a backstory.
Don't give any hooks to your GM.
Yes.
What are you? I am an orphan. I have never known anyone. I have no friends. I have no job. I have no secret identity.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I fight crime and that's it.
Yeah. And I arrest people and no one ever comes to... Oh, and I don't do any property damage because you lose karma for doing property damage.
Which again is just making it like, oh, well, I hope you rolled a power that doesn't do like explosions or anything, because then by playing the game, you're like, well, you used your power. I guess you lose experience points for it.
Yeah. You lose them for acting unseemly or unlike a superhero. You lose them for accidentally causing damage to the street if you get thrown off a building and land on the street real hard. There is an example in the book when that happens. It's She-Hulk gets thrown off of the Baxter Building. It's 1986. She's currently in the Fantastic Four. And Jesus Christ, whoever did the art arrangement for this book fucking had a boner for She-Hulk. She is 60% of the art.
Yo, I get it.
I mean, I'm not saying She-Hulk isn't rad. I love She-Hulk, but, you know, it's a big Marvel category. You could have put in, instead of 15 pictures of She-Hulk, you could have done 14 in one picture of Black Cat.
You know, you could have given us a Ghost Rider.
More She-Hulk. I gotta have more She-Hulk.
But yeah, and then the big no-no as a hero is if you kill someone,
villain or otherwise,
doesn't matter what happens, if you kill anyone, you are immediately set to zero karma.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, if you have a team pool, which is the karma pool, because you're allowed to bank karma and build karma banks with other people. That's what teams are. They're shared pools of karma.
Mm-hmm.
If you kill someone, their karma also goes to zero.
Yeah, they're associated with you, so also they are affected by this.
Yeah. Now, it makes you wonder how characters like Ghost Rider and Punisher, who kill on the regular, get their powers
well, Punisher doesn't need any. He has guns.
He's listed in here as an alternative human or a upgraded human or whatever.
Well, because you can't create a regular human.
Yeah, you can't create a regular guy. So Nick Fury is in the same boat where they're like, yeah, he's an upgraded human, whatever. We had to put him somewhere.
Yeah.
So both of them, but like,
no, Nick Fury is technically an augmented human. He has some weird stuff going on in his...
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, depends on which story. I mean, this is Hasselhoff-era Fury that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. He's got, like, some weird serum stuff in him that's, like, a not-quite-super-soldier thing.
But it leaves me wondering about other characters in the Marvel Universe that they don't quite get to. Like, Moon Knight existed at this point. He's just a guy. He's got mental issues, but those aren't powers. His powers are that he's muscly and he knows how to throw moon-shaped knives.
Oh, yeah. Well, in this, pretty much, if you are a regular human, you're an augmented human in that you can do stuff that regular people can't.
But you got to wonder, get back to the core question, how does Punisher level up then?
Oh, he doesn't.
He just doesn't. He just never... He started super powerful. Luckily, he rolled really well at the start.
Oh, yeah.
He's to zero karma forever.
He's just never going to have any karma, and that's fine. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, villains don't play by these rules because they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So if they cause problems, but you play by the rules if villains are around, which means if you're fighting Doc Ock and he knocks the top off a building, you take that penalty.
Well, of course you do, because
you didn't
clearly
stop him.
You pushed that down on Captain Stacy, and everyone knows Spider-Man is a murderer.
Well,
now.
Yeah, you're obviously he's either a threat or a menace. You make your choice. There's a great... Jameson shows up in this book for like a hot second as an example of how to use a feat roll to convince someone who doesn't like you to give you information. How to use negative popularity.
Oh, yeah, because there is a whole thing for like if you talk to someone, your popularity can change based on like what their deal is to you. Like, oh, this person is hostile towards you already, but if you're popular, then you'll have a bonus to getting them to do whatever. And
if you're unpopular, they'll still help. You'll still get a bonus if they think you're going to get hurt, because that's the way it works. It's Spider-Man being like, hey, Jonah, where's Shocker? And he's like, get out of here, you menace to society. Oh, I was looking forward to fighting Shocker. I thought he might really hurt me. Ooh, if you really get hurt, that'd be good.
You two costume freaks can take each other out.
Yeah, he's at the park. Now get out of here and get me pictures of you.
Get me pictures of Peter Parker.
Let me draw you like one of my French Spider-Men.
Le Spider-Man.
So karma sucks. I mean, the thing about banking it to form teams, I thought it was an inventive way to come up with how to make a team mechanic and like what is the X-Men technically, but it doesn't feel, it feels very disconnected from gameplay. If you're like, well, my character's going to take 50 karma and put it in the X-Men bank. You're like, what does that look like? What am I, guess it's personal investment in the team.
It's basically the ability for the team to do stuff. So if it's like, we're all doing a thing and, you know, I want to do the fastball special. You're like, okay, well, Colossus is going to use some of that team resource to throw Wolverine, and then Wolverine is going to use some of the team resource to claw the dude that he gets to.
Now, we've already been talking for an hour, so obviously we are going to go long today because we haven't even talked about a lot of the things that we needed to. Another thing you can spend that team resource... Oh, by the way, one last thing about the team mechanic. You can break out and leave whenever you want by separating out your percentage, your share, and walk away with it. So if you're, but you can only ever be a member of one team bank at a time. That's a rule. So
yeah,
I guess
Wolverine.
I guess in the 80s, Wolverine wasn't already on every team.
Yeah,
maybe that's just they hadn't had to solve for that yet.
But, solve for X-Men.
Solve for Weapon X. So one of the things you can spend all these team karma resources on is upgrades to your headquarters. And if you wanted to guess that the middle third of this book is just price guides for various amounts of crap you can put in a living room, well, you're right. That's what most of the middle of this book is.
Weird guess, but yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. They're like, okay, well, if you would like to build spare bedrooms, a spare bedroom with a typical cost will have a bed, a dresser, two chairs, and a lamp.
Let's see. I would like to buy the living room package. The cost is good.
Mm-hmm.
It occupies a room and consists of sofa, two easy chairs, two end tables, coffee tables, two lamps, ceiling, table, or floor.
John, what if I wanted to spend more? I'm willing to upgrade and spend remarkable on my living
room.
Well,
at excellent
cost.
Ooh,
excellent. Okay.
You can add a TV, stereo, or piano. And at remarkable, baby, you get all three.
And it goes on like that for page after page of just like, hey, if you want to dress up, if you want to Sims this room in your Marvel game, it's going to cost you X amount.
Of course, you also have to pay for the actual space itself. So you're going to need the cost for a one bedroom apartment or two bedroom apartment or three bedroom apartment or a cottage with two rooms or a small house with four rooms.
And you're like, wait, okay, I get it, because, yeah, I know most Marvel characters live somewhere. I mean, there's a few who don't. I guess giant-sized Man-Thing lives in the woods.
Yeah.
But most of them live, but it's not like the X-Men are constantly being like, well, Wolverine, I've decided to add a rumpus room to the Gray Malkin Academy. Would you go out and spend a remarkable amount of money on it for me, please? Make sure that takes an adventure.
It's so weird. And there are so many different categories for what type of building you have, what size it is, how many rooms you get, what you can put in those rooms, the cost for those things.
I mean, like, there's a point where I was like, okay, I kind of get it, because if you statted all this stuff out, it'd be kind of neat to watch the Juggernaut plow through it or something. But that's me thinking in terms of comic books, where they are very clearly thinking in TSR 80s era listing.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're just like, well, you got to put all this shit in here. Otherwise, people won't know how much a house costs.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically we had resources as an entire stat in here. If we don't give you crap to spend resources on, then no one's going to care.
I mean, rest assured, there's other stuff to spend resources on. You can duplicate powers by building machines that duplicate the effects of powers. It is an extremely complicated process. You could build robot suits, but with resources, it costs an incredible amount of money. They even call it out and say, like, by the way, anything you build with resources is not going to add up to the Iron Man suit. The Iron Man suit is a collection of powers. You're going to build, like, the load lifter from Aliens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, getting a power into a thing is like, well, you're gonna have to spend like 75 days on this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, you could spend a whole lot of karma to shave that time down.
What are we talking about? Is this a thing? I mean, I can think of examples in comic media properties like in Iron Man 3 where he has to hang out in that kid's garage and build himself a bunch of weapons out of Christmas ornaments.
I mean, Mr. Fantastic constantly making gadgets.
But it's not like there's ever, other than the fact that it ruins his relationships, there's never a point where he's like, we have to go fight Mole Man, but I'm too busy building this robot car.
Yeah,
well, I could, by investing personal and team resources into the robot car, build it faster so that instead of fighting Mole Man in 2 weeks, I could do it in 12 days.
It is, it's very much a, what did you think players wanted to do here type of a thing, where you look at all of the space and time that they spent for so much minutia, and it's like, oh, these are things that either a player will engage with once ever,
yeah,
or will not want to engage with ever because it's bad for them.
And even if they would were to engage in it, it would be set dressing at best. This book has stats for 16 different boats.
Yeah.
You got mini subs, you got catamarans, you got cruise liners, you got ferries. It's got them all, and you're like, why would I need to know how fast a ferry is?
Spider-Man's on the ferry and he's trying to get back over to the mainland to face Green Goblin, but Green Goblin's on a glider. Now, if you'd like to look at my airspeed velocity chart.
Well, first of all, what kind of ferry? What's the engine in that? Is that a Whitney? Or does it have a ferry velocispeed engine? Because that's gonna matter significantly when you're measuring down your count for how long Spider-Man has to... First of all, what was Spider-Man doing on the ferry? Why did he leave Manhattan? Spider-Man doesn't leave Manhattan.
Oh, he was fighting Goblin over at the... Statue of Liberty.
He was in the fifth borough of New York, Boston.
That famous fifth borough.
That's an old joke. That's because this is the anniversary episode.
We can do whatever we want.
Uh-huh.
We can go long. We can make
so
old
fucking
jokes.
Long already. Yeah, I don't get. People love long. I don't. I've never had a complaint. Not even once.
Never.
Never.
Ever.
And I've had complaints about all kinds of other shit. For example, what year the Three Musketeers took place in? Very concerned with that, people turn out to be.
Turns out, people want you to know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, to get back to it, let's talk about the powers. There's lots of them, even in the core book.
Yep.
But I'm going to be honest, almost every category, because the way it works is you roll in a category, and then you either select or roll a D10 for one power from that category. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of the categories are 9 powers, and then one power that is the other powers from that category. For example, the first one is like resistances. And they'll have like, oh, fire resistance. You get class 1000 or really, really good resistance to fire. Not super good, just really good. Stuff can still burn you.
Well, it's like everything is going to be, all right, well, roll what your ability with it is. Do you have feeble fire resistance? You can put your hand on top of a burner for a second.
Yeah, I know. So what that means is that fire immunity is not really fire immunity. It's just fire resistance. And that's fine. I get that. It doesn't really take into account the people in the Marvel Universe who do have fire resistance, like the Human Torch or whatever, who are like, fuck you. I can just walk in fire. What do I give a shit?
Well,
I can take a nap in it.
That's not fire resistance. That's fire absorption.
Oh, there is a difference.
Yes, indeed there is.
But it's just like immunity to fire, immunity to electricity, immunity to radiation, not immunity to physical damage. That's body armor. That's in a different category entirely. But the last power from the absorption set is just called invulnerability. And it's just, hey, go back through the list of powers you just skipped over. Pick two of them and have both of them at class 1000. And you're like, why wouldn't I just pick this one? It's really good compared to these other ones.
Well, some of them are, you know, 2 powers worth. So if you decide to be like, all right, well, I rolled up energy control. I could do electrical or magnetic or light or sound. But if you get, say, probability manipulation because you want to make Scarlet Witch, that's 2 powers.
Yes, that's true. And also several powers will suggest a power. If they do have a rule that if you roll a 2 power power and you don't want it, you can re-roll.
Yep.
They also have a suggested power set where if you roll, for example, teleportation, they're like, well, if you can teleport, you might also need dimensional travel because that's how all teleporters in Marvel work right now. So if you have teleporting, why not add dimensional power instead of rolling for it? Just write it down on your list. Please note that's not a real example. Teleporting does not actually give you dimensional travel.
Yes.
In fact, teleporting gives you the opposite because I don't think any of the Marvel teleporters who go through another dimension can just stay there.
No.
I've never seen Nightcrawler be like, nah, fuck it, I'm staying in Brimstone or whatever the fuck it is.
Well, I mean...
I know he can now,
there
but
are Bamps there.
Yeah, there's Bamps there. There's little baby ones of him.
Yeah.
And I know Magic's another one who does the same thing. She teleports through Limbo, and I don't remember... I think she can stay there.
Sure, she can do whatever she wants.
She's Magic. It's right in her name. But anyway, there are a number of powers that are double powers, some of which, and I just want to stop and focus on weather control, because I feel like weather control represents the worst that this book has to offer. Now, weather control obviously is in there because of a couple of Marvel weather controllers, most notably Storm, but obviously also Thor.
Yeah.
The book even goes out of its way to be like, look, we know that Storm's weather control power is not really weather control. And like, real weather doesn't shoot ice cubes into a glass or let you breathe in space. Those aren't weather control things.
Oh, yeah. And when you look at it, it's under the matter control, and you're like, huh, weather control isn't two powers. That's weird, because it does a lot of stuff, and all of the other powers that do a lot of stuff are two powers.
And when you think back, you're like, well, ice control's in that same list. And, you know, I know Iceman can do shit that Storm can't. But Storm can make and control ice. She does it all the time. Maybe she doesn't slide around on a sled made of it, but she doesn't need to. She can fucking fly because of weather. So you think, okay, how are they going to make weather control balance? Well, they tell us right on the bat. Weather can copy almost every power from any other matter control type because you can just be really creative with it. So what does it do? Oh, nothing. If you take weather control at first level, or not first level, but as a beginning character, it does nothing. To do anything with weather control, you need to create and succeed with power stunts that copy the other powers.
It's so weird, because you look at it and you're like, okay, so I have weather control. You'd think...
You could do some basics. You could make it rain.
Yeah. You should be like, okay, well, I can do rain. I can...
Make it windy.
I can do a little bit of temperature control. You know, I'll have basic stuff. But then if I want to do something like... Okay, I want to hit somebody specific with a lightning bolt instead of just making a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, okay, that's a stunt. Sure, fine.
But it doesn't say that. Instead, it's like, at the start, this power doesn't do a goddamn thing. It doesn't even say you can control local weather in a minor way. It's just like, oh, all functions of this power are stunts. Here's a list of examples. You don't start with any.
Hmm.
So you're like, is that how Storm was when she was like a baby mutant? Did she just not do anything at all? Did she know she was a weather mutant until she tried the first stunt? Why didn't you give it a baseline ability?
Yeah. And you don't start with any power stunts. So it's not like you get the power and go, all right, everything I do has to be a power stunt. So I guess I'll just say at the start, like, all right, my thing with weather is... Say, specifically, I can make it sunny. Like, that's my whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
I can make it get really warm.
Yeah.
So I can get it, like, 120 degrees out. That's my one stunt. I can have general weather control other than that, but mm-hmm. there you go. Nope. You get nothing.
Well, because the thing you're citing where you get one stunt is a common thing you see in other powers. You see it in ice control, for example. Ice control, like, lets you control temperatures and so on. And then there's a list of potential, obviously copied from Iceman-type powers that you can choose from. And it's like, pick one of these to start, because you'll need one. And weather control, they're like, well, the thing with weather control is that it's powerful, because it can duplicate the effects of lots of these powers. So, to balance that, you start with nothing. Nothing at all, and no way to get something. Okay. Is that a power, then? Do I even have a power?
Well... I mean, let's be fair, these power stunts only cost 50 karma to do instead of 100.
That's still going to be half or more of your starting total. It's just, and also you can fail and spend that karma and not accomplish anything. It's just weird. The other one I found weird when I was making my bonus character was, I think it's called Extra appendages.
Mm-hmm.
It's under body, offensive body modifications.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, you know, it's if you want to play as like Forearm or Nightcrawler because he's got the tail, or anyone else who's got like an extra body part or centaur legs, anything like that. All it does is replicate other powers from the same category.
Which is weird. You'd think it would be like, oh, this will give you like a plus one CS to melee combat or something.
Yeah, you think, okay, well, my character is Forearm. Let's just take Forearm. He's a real piece of shit, and no one likes Forearm, but at least you have an easy understanding of what his powers are. Forearm has forearms.
Great.
So he has probably the one that gives him extra attacks, because he just has forearms, so he can punch more. But does it do that? No, it gives you... It's like, hey, if you take that, then your next power is automatically the extra attacks power, and you have extra attacks. Because you have extra arms. Or you could just take the extra attacks power and have extra attacks and not need to have extra arms. Yep. They are identical, except one uses two powers and the other uses one.
Uh-huh.
You're like, this is poorly thought out. I mean, I understand why you did that, but Forearm is strictly worse than, let's say that, who would be another good character to give just extra attacks? Let's Iron Fist?
Sure.
Good example, right? Because he just punches real fucking fast. He's Iron Fist. Iron Fist is less conspicuous.
True.
What's Forearm got that Iron... I guess he can do more versions of the Stranger.
I mean, not to go to bat for this absolute garbage, but the only thing I would say is, if you were doing a full random build,
oh yeah,
and you random rolled into it, then you're like, oh good, now I actually can pick a thing, because I can go, all right, I have extra body parts, but I can decide that I get lightning speed because I'm going to say it's centaur legs.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but if you're doing a full random roll, then why are you excited to come out of randomness? You're only there because you chose to be.
Well,
I guess if you're playing in a game where the GM, who yes. has been advised to be fiendish, is like, I'll be fiendish by telling you randoms only. And you're like, haha, I'll pull one over on you with this semi-random two power that gives me one power.
And that's, I mean, you see that a lot with, you rolled up a thing and it'll tell you, hey, if you want to, you can also take muh as yeah. a related power for one of your things. You're like, okay.
Now, does this list still cover the gamut of most of what Marvel powers are? Yeah, absolutely. Can you make most Marvel characters? Sure. It's not a terrible list. It just has a real stink of old TSR on it when you actually drill down and look at the powers. The thing I've always said, and I still maintain this, the Ultimate Powers book, and for a lesser extent, this book's power set as well, are phenomenal. If you're going to play some other game, if you're going to go play Masks or something and you're sick of looking at the playbook and Masks and being like, oh boy, I am playing as the outsider and my powers are weird laser guns. You can take this book's power generation system, roll it up just to give you the role playing.
Oh yeah. Instead of being like, all right, how do I harm another?
Yeah.
You're like, I guess I use whatever my power is. But with this, you can be like, all right, I generated a bunch of dumb nonsense, made a character, and now I'll put it into a system that works.
Yes, exactly. It's perfect if you want to steal the shit for a system that works. So that's powers. And then powers, by the way, are Appendix A of the book. They don't the importance of the price of various aspects of bathrooms is more important than the power listing.
Oh, yeah. Like, you roll up your powers, and then about another 50 pages later, they're like, oh, I guess we should tell you what this does.
I mean, they say as much in the book. They're like, hey, we didn't put this right here because it would break up the book. It would be monotonous if the powers were in the middle because it would break up the book dramatically. But then you look at what they put in instead, and you're like,
oh, that would break up the book. Anyway, here's 17 different types of car. And you're like, I don't, what, why?
Here's 300 guns you could take. Don't, though, because if you kill anyone, you'll lose all your XP.
Yeah, oh. Man, so on the fighting chart, by the way, because you just reminded me of it.
Yeah.
When you do any type of fighting, you can do blunt or edged or shooting, and these are all different like charts that you will roll on. But if you're doing edged or shooting and you get a red result on your roll, then you can auto-kill the person you are attacking. Now, it is a May. Mm-hmm. So you don't automatically just kill them if you're like, ah, yes, I'm using a bladed weapon and I'm Wolverine and I just murder literally everyone I fight.
Yeah.
Nope. You can decide, no, I guess I just hurt them real bad.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an accidental or a semi-intentional kill result on anything with a bladed weapon. Notably, blunt weapons, you're allowed to reduce your damage however you would like to. You could just send. You could be like, oh, I would like to do 15 instead of 25 damage.
But with the blunt, you also, if you get yellow or red, you can do a slam or a stun, whereas edged is you do a stun or a kill.
You don't want to do slams, though, because slams are knocking people away, and that's going to cause property damage.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to slam people.
No, no.
And welcome them to the jam, people.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction with that.
Nope.
All right. The combat mechanics of this game are almost too complicated for us to talk about at this late hour.
I'll just go ahead and say, hey, remember when we talked about that giant D100 chart?
It's that.
Yeah. Just go look at whatever your column is, roll it, and whoever you are fighting, if they are defending, will probably column shift you down.
That's
or
their
they
defense.
Might fuck up their defense and column shift you up.
Yep. And there's initiative, and it's all very complicated. I mean, you remember it when you're like, I haven't read this book in a decade. It's like, oh, you roll, they roll. Cool shit happens because you're firing lasers that look like birds or whatever. But then you're rereading, like, oh no.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, this isn't gonna be fun.
This is an RPG from the mid 80s.
Sure is. It very much is. Is it better than most of those? Yes. Is it good though?
No.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's do our favorites and least favorites, John. What do you say?
Sure. Why not?
What's your favorite thing about Marvel Superheroes role-playing game? Please don't take all the random charts.
It's all the random charts.
Mother! No, by all means.
No, I think... I mean, it is, honestly.
Of
my favorite
it is.
Thing is rolling on random charts because I fucking love random charts so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because I've got, like, old Rift Stockholm syndrome. Where I'm like, yeah, I just really want to roll on a chart for stuff. But I would say probably the smartest thing they did in this, like the actual best thing, is the bell curve D100.
Oh, for stat generation?
For stat generation.
Okay.
The way they tried to sort of balance out different ways of doing things as far as like, okay, you can be... you know, not so high a stat, but you get a bunch of resources, or, you know, maybe you have better stats, but you don't have as many powers. They tried really hard to actually do a balanced thing instead of just 3d6 down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of just saying, I don't know, every stat roll D100, that's the number you have in it. Look at the chart to see what level that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least... interesting that they tried to do something bell curvy. Say that. Sure.
They TSR in the 80s was very much about the percentile rolls. Like, if you just look at it from D&D being the sole survivor of that era, then yeah, 3d6 was king. But if you look at Boot Hill, Gamma World, Indiana Jones, this that space game that we reviewed that one time, you know, the one where you could play as like worms.
You know, worms.
We could play as cool worms.
And, yeah. Star Frontiers.
All of those were percentile driven. The percentage of games, they liked percentile more than 3D6. D&D just happened to be the one that was bigger than all of them and was king.
Yeah.
So that's your favorite thing, though?
Yeah. I think they at least tried to have some semblance of balance in that one specific case. So there you go.
Okay. I'm going to say the character creation, knowing that they were like, hey, obviously a lot of people are just going to want to play as Spider-Man. This is a Marvel game. Here's how you do that. But then they were like, yeah, but that's not really what most people will want to do. So let's jump right into character creation with an example pulled from the history of Marvel, which I thought was kind of a fun trick. But they were like, here's this fucking guy. He applied to be in the Masters of Evil once and was rejected soundly. His name is the Osprey. He's some dope. He doesn't even have
no powers.
His wings don't work.
Some wings that don't do anything.
And getting mad at him for even showing up to apply, the Wizard, a minor Marvel villain who you only see as a sub-boss in some video games, sticks a floating disc on his chest and sends him off. And they're like, great, let's build this guy. And I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I thought character creation in this game did a great job of replicating the Marvel experience, like what a Marvel character should look like by the end. Even just using this base set, you can create most characters, and I thought that was impressively done.
Mm-hmm.
That said, the gameplay experience does not match that. It doesn't feel that way.
Right.
It feels like their priorities didn't really point to the gameplay experience that you would think of as like, oh, I'm playing fucking Captain Marvel. What does Captain Marvel do? Well, it's the 80s, so she lets her ass hang out.
Same.
Well, in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, obviously. You're in the 80s, I was letting my ass hang out all about my
that,
diaper.
All about that butt. I don't know if that's true or not either. I don't. Was she even Captain Marvel in the 80s, or was it Mar-Vell or whatever his name was first?
God, in 86?
I forget when she turns into... I know she's Miss Marvel for forever.
Yeah.
I think she was... But Captain Marvel gets name-dropped in this book, and I don't know who they're talking about.
I think she was Captain Marvel by then.
Okay.
So, whatever.
Why don't you correct us, everybody?
Yeah.
I'm not really that salty. Please, dude, I don't care. I don't care about your...
He's so salty.
I'm not.
Guys, off the mic.
Guys, off
so
the
mic. So salty. So salty.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to address the audience and have me go away for a second?
No, I want you here.
Oh, okay. What's your least favorite thing?
Oh, it's Karma. It's easily Karma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime we've seen the whole brownie point XP combined system in any game, it is basically invariably going to be the worst thing. It is such an awful choice to give to your players, and even more so in this game, because it's like, well, you could spend 20 now and get like 20% to your roll, or save it because you're going to need 1,000 to do anything. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to take karma as well, but a different aspect of it. I'm going to take the moralizing shit that karma does in this game, where it's like, oh, if you cause property damage, that's minus 50 karma. If you do something that makes your team look bad, that's minus 30 karma. Also the ones that are just like, if you miss basic details of your, if you promised you'd meet someone at a coffee house somewhere and you don't, minus 10 karma. And I'm like, okay, but the reason that would happen is because, not because you made a choice, but because the GM made a choice.
Yeah, because let me tell you, the other alternative to that is, I let a villain rampage so I can go to the coffee shop. How much karma minus is that?
Yeah, it's never going to be, there's no way to set this up, so it's up to you. Where they're like, well, you could go fight Mole Man, but don't worry, he'll wait.
Yeah, it's also not like, hey, you have a meeting with your friend at a coffee shop you said you'd do. Would you like to go there or not? And the player's like, no, I know nothing else is happening, but fuck that guy.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to set it up as like a moral or upstanding decision that you, the player, make, but it exists solely so that the GM can be fed hooks to fuck you with.
Which and is stupid, given that you already have to spend it to do your brownie point thing to make sure you don't fail, and you have to spend it to go ahead and make yourself better. Having a outlet where the GM can take some away from you is so unnecessary.
Right. Well, ultimately, the best thing you could do with it is ignore it. And the best thing that they should have done with it is take this part of it out. Because you're like, okay, well, what if I want to have a friendly relationship and celebrate my players' experiences and you know, make characters who have rich inner lives and backstories without screwing with them? I guess they'll just go do all this stuff and then the karma mechanic doesn't do anything? This is only in, the only reason it's in here is to encourage the DM to punish you for having a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the DM automatically does and is an asshole. We're talking about someone who doesn't even exist right now. It's a bad design because it encourages them, a hypothetical DM, to be a dick for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my least favorite thing. Would you play this game?
Yeah, probably.
I know you would. Some of my best experiences have been playing this shitty game.
I mean, I would play it just so I could make a dumb character, because I love making dumb characters in this, and hey, what luck! If you want to listen to us make dumb characters in this, you can go over to patreon.com/systemmastery, support us at the lowest level of $1, and we're gonna go make bonus content where we make characters. What kind of weird heroes are we gonna make? You'll have to find out on Patreon.
Patreon.com/SystemMastery. What a deal. And we've been saying that for forever now, and I feel like we're going to keep saying it, because I know in the intro I mentioned, are we ever going to buy that pig? Not yet.
Nope.
I mean, for some reason, we seem to have stalled at a dollar value for about, oh, I don't know, one pandemic's worth of time.
Yeah, it's weird that we haven't been getting anything more during a pandemic when everything's fucked.
Although, I got to say, if I can be honest, real with everybody for just a moment here, if I can go sincere,
I don't want to work anymore.
Yeah, if I can be real sincere for just a second, I didn't know when the Three Musketeers happened. I didn't. All right? Okay, everybody? I didn't know. No, I'm kidding. What I meant by real sincerity is the fact that we managed to weather the pandemic and not have to like go beg for real jobs or anything because people stayed with us was extremely heartfelt.
Oh, yeah.
To me. I was worried. Everyone in my family was worried that this meant that the podcast was over. Because how could you possibly sustain it? But everyone stuck by our sides. I know.
How could you possibly be a creative in this environment?
Yeah, I know that for most people it's like $2 a month, so it wasn't like a bank-breaking decision to stick with us. But to us, it meant the world. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, it's a loud car. I was distracted for a second by a loud car, everybody. Please give me a dollar.
There was a loud car. I thought it might be a fart. Please give me a dollar.
It's that level of humor and more at the Patreon. All right, well, that's been episode 200.
Yeah. Hey, go tell a friend about us. Go make a review. Let everyone know that we've got 200 episodes. We've been doing this so long. We've read so many RPGs now that we are I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's 200 episodes. Fuck it. We're experts now. I'm putting the flag down.
Oh, we got the, okay.
We've always said, like, oh, we're not experts. We're just guys who read. No. We've read so many. We're experts. You want to know about an RPG? Come to me.
I've said this a million times to fans and so on, but every time I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm an expert. I've got to be at this point. I've read so many books. It's crazy. And then every time I'm talking to some fan, I'm like, well, I read this one weird book. Like, I read that. I read that. I read every book on your entire show plus 600 other books.
Also, I remember them way better than you.
And I'm like, what the fuck? How come you don't have... Oh, you know what? It's because I'm interesting.
You hear that, fans?
Oh, no, it's not you. It's one fan that wasn't you.
It's that one fan. We all know.
Not you. Not you, fan.
No, not you. It's that one fan. You know, Ryan.
Shit, I don't know which Ryan they're talking about. I'm fine with all the Ryans, I think.
All the Ryans out there, you're okay.
You're on notice.
But you Justins. Is your name Mary? You're a worst fan.
We're going to lose so much money. Don't you know that 73% of our money comes from people named Mary? It's just one.
Yeah. Mary Liotta.
Secretly, Mary Liotta.
Oh,
no. All right. Well, that's enough. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks with yet more exciting content because we're not going out on 200. See you soon with 201, bitches. Out.